Our final guest this morning is Jonathan Stafford. Jonathan is a ballet master at New York City Ballet and a member of the faculty of the School of American Ballet, New York City Ballet's official school.
Born in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Mr. Stafford began his dance training at the age of 8. He was invited to become an apprentice with New York City Ballet in 1998, joined the company as a member of the Corps de Ballet in February 1999, promoted to the rank of soloist in March of 2006, became a principal dancer in May 2007. After retiring from the company in May 2014, he was appointed as the New York City Ballet Ballet Master.
At the School of American Ballet, he served as a member of the school's guest faculty and joined the permanent faculty in 2007. And it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
It is a delight to have you. So what is, by the way, I would think, do you have a business card?
I do.
So to have your name and ballet master as your title seems like a pretty cool title.
It is cool, and I have to say I've gotten made fun of it a couple times from some of our patrons. They say, so are you really a master at ballet? And I say, absolutely.
I have it on this card. Yeah. I'm a ballet master.
It's my title.
So what does that mean?
So basically, we are charged with maintaining the repertoire, the vast repertoire at New York City Ballet. We have to rehearse all the ballets. There's a lot of us. You know, we each take turns with certain ballets, and I'm assigned to probably 15 different ballets. Mm-hmm. And we have to rehearse the ballets. We have to teach the new people. We have to coach the people who know the parts, make sure that they know exactly what they're doing, and making sure they're ready for the stage. But one of the biggest responsibilities is maintaining the legacy of Balanchine. I mean, I coach mostly Balanchine ballets, and the way that ballet gets passed down from generation to generation is through the ballet masters, the people who teach it to the next generation. So we have to maintain, we can't just start changing steps, you know,
no.
Balanchine's choreography. We have to maintain the integrity of the ballet.
And how do you work with the ballet master in chief?
So mostly we will work on the ballet separate from him being in the room with the dancers, and then he'll come in towards the end of the process and he'll...
Peter Martins.
Yeah, Peter Martins will come in and take a look at it, make sure everything's to his liking. He trusts us absolutely. He only appoints us if he trusts that we will do what he expects of us completely without him having to look over our shoulder at every second. So we work closely with him also on casting.
So I have a very difficult question for you. Probably you won't be able to answer it. I ask you that in advance. But I see you received the Martin E. Siegel Award from the School of American Ballet. Do you know who Marty Siegel was?
I know a little bit from receiving the award a long time ago.
I think he was one of the biggest actuaries in New York.
He was, and he was incredibly generous to the performing arts, and he had this great energy, and his support for the arts was, you know, never ending, and his award has actually taken on a life of its own, and they give it to many more people each year than they even used to because they have the means to, and it always goes to a promising young artist in a different artistic field, and I'll never forget meeting him. He was really small but had more energy than anyone else in the room. And, you know, it was something I'm very proud to have received.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And you really blown me away by, you know, knowing who he was.
Yeah,
which usually somebody gets it. I once got something called the Catherine Sekla Hudson Award. I have no idea who she is.
Yeah. Yeah. I was fortunate enough to meet him a couple times.
Yeah, that's great.
Afterwards. So
when you come here, how much of your work, how much of the work is done on site and how much is done in preparation to coming here?
Yeah, well, this year, because we came here straight from Paris pretty much, most of the work is being done on site. We're kind of throwing everything together kind of at the last second, rehearsing things as quickly as possible. A lot of the ballets we're doing, we just did in the spring season back in New York. Mm-hmm. So the dancers are pretty well-versed in what they need to do. So we just need to kind of get them comfortable with the stage and get them out there. We trust them quite a bit.
Is there ever that moment when you're watching them, your former principal dancer yourself, that you say, God, I wish I was the one who was doing that right now. I could do it better.
Absolutely not. I'm one of those people who you know, whenever you retire from a performing arts type thing or something where you're in live performance, people will always ask you afterwards, do you miss it? And I have to say that, honestly, I've never felt a moment of regret since I stopped dancing. And I was so involved in the teaching and ballet mastery right before I finished dancing that it was actually more fulfilling to me. And my goal is to make the next generation better than I was. So I'm never thinking, oh, I could have done it better than them. If I see something that's not quite up to par to my eye, I take it as a reflection of I need to do a better job coaching them up and making sure that they do it better than I ever did.
Now, the School of American Ballet is incredibly important. I don't think most people understand what that school and its association with the parent company, you know, is really all about. Could you talk about it for a minute?
Well, we have a very unique situation where I think 95% of the dancers in New York City Ballet have come through the School of American Ballet. There's no other company in the U.S. where the school feeds exclusively, mm-hmm. or, you know, the company looks exclusively to the school for the dancers in the ranks. We also feed companies all around the country and even around the world now from SAB. It's a really important institution, been around for more than 80 years, and it has a very specific mission of training dancers in the style that Balanchine wanted. So it's really the only Balanchine school.
Do you keep the best for yourselves? Do you keep the best for yourselves, and then send the
others to St. Louis? Yeah. And well, we try to feed. You know, we have a dancer who graduated this year who's going to Boston Ballet. Yeah. We have one who's going to San Francisco Ballet. So we're trying to, you know, feed as many of the other companies as possible because all the dancers are super talented and we can't take them all. Unfortunately, Peter always says he would if he could, but it just doesn't work out that way.
Is it a possibility of then circling around and coming back to the company?
It has happened a couple times before, but not usually, where a student has gone to another company because Peter simply didn't have the room, but he was always very interested in that dancer, so then they've come on later.
So it's sort of like baseball, is there, you know, trades? Like
there isn't, and I'm a huge sports fan. I've always thought about what would it be like to be traded, you know, for another principal dancer from another company and swap. But no, unfortunately, we don't. Some people do move companies at mm-hmm. the higher ranks, but it doesn't happen so much with New York City Ballet. Peter really likes to groom his dancers up mm-hmm. through the company, which is great in a lot of different ways. You know, you always have something you're kind of striving towards, and he rewards what he sees and promotes them up.
There must be something fairly glorious in the fact, though, that when you start and you realize, as long as you don't screw it up, that you're going to stay in a place for a while and be shepherded
for
a career.
Definitely. And it really feels like a family, you know, because we all came, my group of dancers I came through the school with is in the company with me. You know, we've really grown up together.
And yet families sometimes fight with each other.
Oh, of course. But
my house, they certainly did.
Yeah. But you'll never see, I think, a tighter knit group of dancers who really root for each other when it comes down to it than you see here at New York City Ballet.
So this is a variation of a question I asked earlier, but as you're on scene now, so give us an idea of your day. What are you working on today?
So today I have three or four rehearsals for various rep ballets that are coming up. There's a complete rehearsal. We call it a complete, where the principals and the core all meet up and rehearse together on stage. It's the last rehearsal we do before the performance. Mm-hmm. So I have one of those today. And then I have a couple other rehearsals for stuff we're doing next week. So another thing that's very unique about New York City Ballet is our performances. Each night is different. It's constantly changing. A lot of other companies, they'll do a set week or 2 week run of just several ballets and that's it. And they'll rehearse for that for a month or two before. But we're constantly rehearsing for the next thing. Like today, the dancers are rehearsing for what they're going to do tomorrow or the next day or next week instead of rehearsing necessarily for what they're doing tonight.
Do your people
so
ever,
always looking ahead.
Do your people ever marry each other?
I'm actually married to soloist Brittany Pollock, now Brittany Stafford, in the company. So, yes, there are some marriages within the ranks of the dancers. So,
I'm not going any further.
You're not
going
to ask a follow-up question? Okay, that's good. When you think of what you're doing you can do this for a long time, right? You can stay with the company for a long time.
Yeah, you can't dance for a long time. It's like being a professional athlete where your time really is limited. But yeah, the teaching, the coaching, I'm hoping to do it for a long time, especially with this organization, because I've been here for 18 years with New York City Ballet. So, and I love what I do at the school and the company, and really don't want to go anywhere else.
In the final minute, we've heard the word throughout the morning of coaching, and as you said, you're a sports fan. So is that an apples to apples comparison?
In certain ways, yeah. I mean, basically, the dancers at this level know how to execute the steps.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that there's no question. We're not telling them how to do that. What we're doing is fine tuning things, making them jump a little higher, making them turn a little bit more, turn a little faster, make sure that foot is placed properly. So with high level athletes, it's those little tweaks that the normal person may not necessarily notice, but in the overall picture, it makes a big difference. So we spend a lot, once the part is taught, we spend a lot of time rehearsing it and perfecting it, and a lot of technical things too. So
when the audience is here and they're doing their thing, where are you?
We usually go out front and sit. They have seats for us out in the audience, so we sit among the rest of the audience because we need to see the full picture from the front. If we're watching backstage, you can't really tell what the dancers are doing. And we're looking, number one, we're rooting for them. Like, we want them to do well.
Sure.
Not just for the product to look good, but because we want them to be happy with, they've put a lot of work into this. We want them to be happy with their performance. But we also look for those little things that you see from the front that happen in a performance and say, oh, you know what? Here, you stepped on the wrong count. You know, make sure next time you do that. You know, just little things. But mostly we just get to sit out there. And when I started ballet mastering and teaching company class, I was just so blown away with how fun it was to sit in front and watch these great dancers. They're just so talented. So we get to really just enjoy the performance.
Do you ever tell the guy right next to you, shut up?
Actually, yeah. And I've had to tell someone to stop filming the performance,
which you're not allowed to do.
Oh, yeah.
He was just sitting there with his phone, just recording.
So obnoxious. Yeah.
So, you know.
You get to do that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Jonathan Stafford is a New York City Ballet ballet master and a member of the faculty at the School of American Ballet. Thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
A real pleasure, and thanks for everything you guys are doing for us. So.